This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Agon Erev Shabbos Rabbosai. Welcome to the segment on Tefillah, Bior Tefillah, Gateway to Tefillah. This series is sponsored by a good friend, Rabbi Tzala Rose of Los Angeles, Lilo Nishmas, his brother, Tzvi Ben Levi Yitzchak, Shem Shavon Aliyah, Bia Melech Yosher, to his whole family, Abiyas Goel Tzedek. Welcome back. These shiurim will now also be on podcast, as we mentioned, and we are starting a new segment today. In other words, basically a new series, because the last year, Tavshin Pei, we started with Berchas HaShachar. We went through all the 15 Berchas HaShachar, from Asher Nosam L'Sach Vivino until Hamaver Sheina Me'enoi. We discussed the Parshas HaTamid. We discussed Rabbi Shmuel Oimer. We discussed Karbanos. We discussed other elements of Tefillah, namely why Brachos go from Noichach to Nistar. And Be'ezus Hashem, today we begin a new segment for Tavshin Pei Aleph, and that is B'siyata D'Shmaya, we begin Psuke D'Zimra. And when we refer to Psuke D'Zimra, as we're going to see, there are two ways of utilizing that expression. Psuke D'Zimra we use to refer to from Mizmar Shechanukas Vayis L'David until the end of Yishtabach. That's how we refer to Psuke D'Zimra. That may not be correct. Psuke D'Zimra may only refer to Ashrei or to a few Hallelukas. That is technically what Psuke D'Zimra is. But we'll use it as a generic term. And what we're going to try to learn today is, what is the purpose of Psuke D'Zimra, A. B, why is it called Psuke D'Zimra? What does the word Zimra mean? We would understand that Zimra means song, verses of song. Why Psuke D'Zimra? Why not Psuke D'Shira? You know, we say, Haboicher b'shire Zimra melech ke'achei ho'ilamim. We say, Haboicher b'shire Zimra. So it's not just Zimra, it's also Shira, but we don't call it Psuke D'Shira, we call it Psuke D'Zimra. So now, let's start with Tosfos. Tosfos in Masechta Brachos, this is our Brachos for today, says, V'chein ein mespalim mitoch kalas roish. We should not pray out of a lightheaded conversation. Uschoik, and joking around. Meaning don't, you know, people, Avada, nobody talks in shul. I mean, especially after COVID-19, Baruch Hashem, there's nobody who talks in shul. And there's nobody who brings cell phones into a Beis HaKnesses, Baruch Hashem. But there are still people who joke around before davening, and the moment davening starts, they're ready and they're all at attention. But that's not really proper. When you come into shul, you don't schmooze until the davening starts. You're supposed to go into davening in the proper frame of mind. So therefore, we don't daven from Kalas Roish and Tzchoik, only from Koyved Roish, seriously, the Simcha Shel Mitzvah. Why? What's an example of appropriate way to go into davening? Kagoin sha'asak b'divrei Torah. V'lachei no'agu lo'imar. Therefore, the minhag is to say, Psukei D'Zimra. V'ashrei, by the way, look at the Lashon of Tosfos. Therefore, the minhag is to say, Psukei D'Zimra and Ashrei. So clearly, Ashrei is not really part of Psukei D'Zimra proper. Koidem Tfila. Now, I refer you to the first Rashi in Brachos. Doesn't the first Rashi in Brachos say that the Kriya Shema that we say in Shul is too early? So why do we say Kriya Shema at night? Rashi says, to go into Shmoina Esrei mitoch Divrei Torah. So apparently that's in the nighttime. But what about during the morning? Because there, L'chaira, you're saying Shema at the right time. So there's an idea that Psuke D'Zimra is Torah. So that's one idea of Psuke D'Zimra. You're not supposed to go into davening from talking about nonsense. So we go into davening on after having said a psukim of Torah. However, there is another dimension of Psuk de Zimra, which may not be as well known, which is quite important. In the Menoiras Hamor of Rabbi Yitzchak Abuhav, he says, Matsasi Kasav Kilachin Nikru Hazmiroi Sahashirim Mizmoirim. The reason why Zmirois and Shirim are called Mizmoirim, you know what Mizmoirim are? Tools of pruning. Lizamer. Miloshen loy sizmar, v'charmecha loy sizmar kelayim. Ulefizeh, zemirois, right, so loymer, zemirois, vines. Shekeshem sha'am mezamer bagafanim. Just like someone who prunes a vineyard, yakutz ka zemirois, he cuts off all the vines. V'yaniach masheroi l'roitev, and he leaves over what is fitting for grape juice. So too, the zmiros that we say before the tefillah, yasiru v'yakutsu kol ha-machsholos. The psukei de zimra, the zmiros that we say before tefillah, removes and cuts down all the stumbling blocks. V'avoinos, and sins sheyesh lanu l'fnei Hashem Yisbarach. V'chshatavoy tefillah seinu, and this way when our tefillah comes, shetia nishmas, it will be listened to, uretsuya, and it will be found favor with Lefnei Hashem before the Almighty. So we see there's an idea that in order to have successful tefillah, there are things that get in the way. What are they? Stumbling blocks, sin, and there we have to prune away the thorns and the bad grapes, so to say, in order for the good fruit to come up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Psukei de Zimra, verses that prune. The function of Psuk de Zimra is, it's a way of weeding away, it's a way of clearing out the admixtures and the mechsholim and the avoinos. In fact, the Mate Moshe, Rav Moshe Mas, Talmud Muvuk of the Marshal, he writes something very interesting. He says, and now I will explain to you why Psuk de Zimra is called Psuk de Zimra. Hat Eli Oznecho Shema. Tilt to me your ear and listen. V'yata Dalecha, you should know. Ki min ha'aretz v'ad l'rakia, from the earth until the heavens, ein sham makom panoi. There's no place that's clear, you know that? From here, from the earth, until the heavens, there's no area that's clear. Ela ha'koil male gedudim v'hamoinim. The airspace is full of soldiers and multitudes of interferers. Some of them are pure and Balei Chesed, and some are tamei and damaging and accusing, and they're all flying in the air. In other words, there's no clear airspace. The airspace is full of soldiers and interferers and contaminated entities. But some of them are kind and some of them are gracious. There's no empty space. Some of them are at peace. Some of them are at war. Some are good, some are bad. Some are for life, some are for death. And about this reality and phenomenon, in other words, it's a good thing we can't see what's going on in the airspace. But if we would see what's going on in the airspace, we would see the airspace is very tumultuous. The airspace is, there's a lot going on there. And that's why we say the Shir of Pegaim. The Shir of Pegaim is Perek Tzadi Aleph of Tehillim. We say, Ki hu yatzilcha mipach yakosh, God will save you from the traps that are laying in snare. Be'evrasa, in his pinion, yasech lach, he will shield you. Do not be afraid from the fear of the evening, from plague in the darkness. He will command an angel. All of these camps between heaven and earth are analogous to someone going into a makam sakana. Imagine if you decided to take a leisurely stroll through the city of Nablus. Basically, you might want to send your will back to your home before you go on such a stroll. It might not be such a friendly stroll. Unless you're going with IDF escort, this is not a good idea. If you learned one thing today, is don't take leisurely strolls through the city of Shechem. Otherwise, you will probably be joining the son of Yaakov Avinu, Yosef, in where he's buried over there. But otherwise, that's not a good place to be. So if you want to know, what is it like to send up a package to Shamayim? That's like sending up a package through enemy territory. So when you have to send a tefillah, kach tefillah shel adam, has to pass through all these legions of soldiers. So if you have a zechus, so the enemy will not attack your tefillah. But if you don't have a zechus, there are many pegoim and mashchisim that could attack on the way. Therefore, for this very dangerous road, David HaMelech was masaking zmirois to clear away the path of tefillah, because all of those kitois are like a cloud that are ma'akev the tefillah from going up. And about this, the pasuk says, "Sakoisa ba'anan loch me'avra tefillah." I cover up with a cloud from tefillah passing through. And when David HaMelech came and he was masaking the zmirois, when a person says Psukei Dezimra in the morning, it removes and it causes to withdraw all the interferers and all the mashchisim, and it's called zmirois from a lashon of pruning. The kareis hazalzalim b'mizmarois. The pruners will cut down with their pruning instruments. And this is what David HaMelech said, zmirois hayuli chukacha b'veis magurai. Meaning, all those places that I was afraid of on the road, and I had pachad from, the zmirois that I said, cut them off and caused them to run away. And about this, David HaMelech says, Biron yachad koichve boiker v'yariu kol bnei alaikim. Okay, so here we have this idea that Psukei Dezimra are not just verses of praise, but they are pruning instruments that cut away. You're about to send away a tefillah. A tefillah, Rabbeisai, is like the Targum says, a sword, a bow. You're sending an arrow up to the heavens, so to speak. You're sending a package up to the Shamayim. But there are all kinds of sharpshooters and interferers who are going to impede the flow of your package. So you need to shoot them down before you send up your Shemoneh Esrei. How do you do that? Psukei Dezimra. Therefore, a person has to be careful not to speak between these zmirois until after Shemoneh Esrei, and be mechavin in your machshava karoi, not to ma'akev in your tefillah. And then, if you speak in between, your kavana will be nizbatel. In other words, somebody who talks during Psukei Dezimra, he is not able to remove these mashchisim. And then all the legions come back, v'choizrim oisim gedudim larech mechama. All the soldiers will return for you to wage war with and be ma'akev your tefillah. And this is what it says in the Yushalmi. Listen to this. This is brilliant. Do you remember this Yushalmi? Someone who talks between Yishtabach and Yoitzer, it's an Avera, and he has to return from the battlefield. Literally, it means if he's fighting to defend the Jewish people, he will not have the requisite merit to defend us, and he has to return from the battlefield. But says the Matei Moshe, there's a deeper meaning. The battlefield refers to the battle of sending up your tefillah through the heavens. Sending up tefillah through the heavens is a great battle, because you have to overcome all the makatrigim. So the way you do that is Psukei Dezimra. But if you don't treat Psukei Dezimra properly and you talk by Psukei Dezimra, you're going to have to cause your tefillah to retreat from the battlefield. They've already scattered. You're going to have to revert. If you're going to talk, they come back. In other words, the way the Matei Moshe explains it, all of those soldiers who are trying to attack your tefillah that you caused to scatter by saying Psukei Dezimra, they will return to the battlefield to, you know, shoot down your tefillah from continuing. Now we have a similar version of this in the Sefer Shari Oira. The Shari Oira was written by one of the great early Mekubalim, Rav Yosef Gektilya. It's one of the classic, most basic works of Kabbalah, but we're just going to read the first chapter, which is based on the principle that the concept of Tehillim and Psukei Dezimra is in order to blow away, in order to destroy the Mekatrigim of our tefillah. He begins his sefer, the foundation of Chachma and the Ikar of tradition is Emunas Hashem Yisbarach, who is Amen. And he says, Shlomo HaMelech says as follows, Shemar Raglecha Ka'asher Telecha Beis Olikim. Guard your feet when you go to the house of the Lord. By the way, halachically this means that if you have to take care of your bodily functions, you should make sure to do that before you go to tefillah. But this pasuk is saying that a person has to check themselves and be careful when they want to daven and to see not just that their body is clean, but they have to make sure there are no mekatregim, no instigators that are interfering with your tefillah. And you need to remove the stones on the path and to remove all stumbling blocks. This is a parable to a person who goes to the courtyard of the king to... Imagine you go to the king, you want the king to accede to your request. So you have to be careful that on the road, you have to make sure there's nobody who's going to interfere with your meeting with the king. Also, you also have to be very concerned. There are many gateways in the house of the king. One within the other, within the other. You have to recognize who are the gatekeepers, who guards the door. You want to make sure if you have a meeting with the king that you're on good terms with the gatekeeper. Otherwise, the king may accede to your request, but you may never get there if the secretary or the gatekeeper doesn't like you and is not going to let you in. You have to make sure if you have any enemies there, you better make up with them. And aside from that, it is worthwhile to know and to contemplate the clothing you're wearing. Are these the type of clothing that is appropriate to wear before the king? Like it says, Ein lovoi el shar ha-melech b'lvosh sak. More than that, you have to check yourself. Are you fitting to speak before the king and the sarim? Is anyone going to challenge your request? Or, let's say you have to wait for an hour there. Are you going to be able to tolerate that? So Chazal say to us in Masechet Brachos, a great principle, that God, so you'll say, come on, that's the way a palace works down here, but who says it works that way upstairs? Well, says the Shari Oira, Chazal tell us, Malchusa de Arak in Malchusa de Rakia. The heavenly palace is parallel and similar to the earthly palace. And if in a Malchus Abbasar Vadam, you have to be careful in all the above mentioned things, you have to make sure you have the good graces of the palace guards and the secretaries, otherwise you're not going to get in. And you have to make sure no one's going to instigate you on the way. Certainly, if you're going to enter before the Melech Malchei Melech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to think, you have to know, that from the earth until the heavens, there is no empty space. It's full of great, great multitudes of mazikim, mekatregim, and gedudim. And this is basically, he says, the same thing as the Mate Moshe. But the reason why one should imagine and picture that in order to send the tefillah up, we have to overcome all of these enemies, so to speak, is because God's palace is exactly, should be viewed as exactly like an earthly palace. And just like to get into an earthly palace, there is protocol, and there are other individuals that have to be bypassed and you have to go through in order to get to the king. God wants us to relate to Him in a very real way. So he says, think that your entrance before me is like entering a earthly palace. And therefore we have to start off the day with Psukei Dezimra by cutting down all the mekatregin and ma'akvim and matridim in order to get our tefillah to be answered properly. Now, we're going to be learning tefillah according to Nosach Ashkenaz. The reason we're going to do that is that's a Nosach I daven. And for those of you who are Ashkenazic Jews, that is the Nosach that your family davened until about 250 years ago. Furthermore, Nosach Sfard is not Nosach Sfard. There's Nosach Sfard that Sfardim daven, but there is no such thing really as Nosach Sfard for Ashkenazim. Nosach Sfard is Nosach Ashkenaz with a few minor changes that were made by the Baal Shem Tov and his Talmidim. More likely, the students of the Baal Shem based on the Arizal. But fundamentally, the Nusach Svar that Ashkenazim daven is Nusach Ashkenaz. It is not. There is no official Nusach for Ashkenazim called Nusach Svard. Nusach Svard is Nusach Ashkenaz with the Shinuyim of the Baal Shem Tov based on the Arizal. And however, we are going to point out a few tenets and fundamental principles of Nusach Svard that could be incorporated by both Nuschais. Namely, we know that Nusach Svard starts off with Hoidu. And we once explained that Hoidu ends with a reference to various Olamais that are relevant to the location and davening that one is up to according to the system of Kabbalah. But we're going to learn now, why would Psukei Dezimra begin with Hoidu according to Nusach Svard, and what is the function of Hoidu even in Nusach Ashkenaz? So the Shalmei Tzibur of Yisrael Yaakov El-Ghazi, he writes that what is the maila of someone who says Psuk de Zimra b'koil na'im? We could see the maila from that which the Knesset Gdolah writes in the name of the Sefer Hasidim. That anyone who says Psuk de Zimra aloud in a sweet voice, and even if he doesn't know the psukim, and he says it mistakenly in a corrupt way, he doesn't pronounce the words correctly. He says, Hoidu, even though there's no word in the Hebrew language, Hoidu. Actually, there is. Hoidu is India, or Hoidu is Turkey, right? So basically, they asked me if I'm going to give a shiur in honor of Thanksgiving. Yes, that's why we're talking about Hoidu. Hoidu is Turkey. The word Hoidu means Turkey. The word is Hoidu. Hoidu is thanks. So every morning, you could ask God, I could either give you a turkey, and I could mispronounce the word, or I could give you thanks. God prefers your thanks more than a turkey. Ibn Shem doesn't really, he's not a big turkey, not so into turkey. So first of all, the first thing you need to know is you cannot say the word hoidu, because it's just wrong. You're mispronouncing the first word of that. The word is hoidu. Hoidu means thanksgiving. Why? But does God love your tefillah even if you mispronounce every word? Yeah, He loves it anyway. And it's miskabel kareach nichayach. And Hashem rejoices over it. Obviously, Hashem rejoices much more if you actually say the words correctly. But there is an idea that the diglai alai ahava, that even when you're mistaken, the Ribbono Shel Olam still loves it. Now, it is known from all the Sifrei Musar that they are full of all kinds of good words about somebody who says Psuk de Zimra with extra kavana. In fact, greater is the schar for saying Psuk de Zimra b'kavana than Shmoneh Esrei itself. Hey Mamru, Gadol Koyach Azmirois Mikach Tzvil Atzma. Meaning the power of Psuk de Zimra is greater than Shmoneh Esrei itself. Ki hazmirois hein heina lamachsa ulamastar, because the zmirois are hidden, and the zmirois offer us protection. And what do they do? This is what we said a number of times from the Matei Moshe, from the Shari Oira, and from the Menar Samar. V'skulasam lezamer v'lichor eskomine mashchitzim abam lekashik atzvaseinu. They cut down all types of accusations against our tefillah. The lashon of zmirois is a lashon of to be mezamer, and especially, says Rabbeinu Yisrael Yaakov Al-Ghazi, Hoidu, Hoidu, Lashem, Tzarech Adam Leschazek, B'chol Yecholtoi. When you say Hoidu, you need to strengthen yourself with all your ability. Hul Hesamitz B'Kavanasai, Ki Hu Shir Noah, it's a very beautiful song. V'nechmar, U'meshuach Ma'ar, V'godol Koichoi Lahachriz Kol Achoichim HaKoitzim. It is especially powerful in cutting down all the thorns and nettles and thistles. So maybe this gives us some insight into why Nusach Svard begins Psuk de Zimra with Hoidu, because since the whole objective of Psuk de Zimra is to shoot down the thorns and the thistles and so forth. And the tefillah, which is most effective in accomplishing that, is tefillas hoidu. So perhaps that's why they begin with tefillas hoidu. But that being the case, in the Siddur, tefillas chana of Rav Reuven Melamed, he interprets that what are these mekatrigim, and what are these thorns and nettles and thistles that we need to cut down? So until now we learned these are angels, these are angels of accusation and kitrug. But Rav Reuven Melamed interprets it very simply. What is the whole function of tefillah? To recognize that everything we have is not because of our own efforts, it's only because of Hashem's good grace. We don't have money because of our ingenuity. We have money because God gave us a gift. We don't have family because it's something that we built. We have family because it's something God gifted us. And tefillah, the purpose of tefillah is complete acknowledgement in the total graciousness and beneficence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is it that we need to uproot then before tefillah? We need to uproot the notion of koichi va'itzam yadi asali esachal hazeh. We need to cut away those thoughts and those attitudes. Psukei dezimra, says the tefillas chana. Tefillah was niskan in a way that we could strengthen ourselves in recognizing God's unity and God's control. And therefore, Chazal begin our tefillah, the psukei dezimra, to uproot, to be mezamer, all of those ideas and notions and attitudes that say, this is our world, we're in control, we're successful because of our own efforts. Pesukei dezimra, we need to cut down those types of attitudes and perspectives. Marv Raboisai, how many minutes does it take in your shul to say Pesukei dezimra? Don't answer that question. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ein oimim azmirois b'merutza kiyim benachas. You do not say Pesukei dezimra fast. You say it slowly. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Shelo yedaleg shum teva. You don't want to skip one word. V'lo yavliyem. You don't want to swallow one word. Elo yoytzi mipiv kilu moine ma'ois. You should say each word as if you're counting money. When you're counting money, you do it one at a time, especially when you're counting $100 bills, because you don't want to miss one. When you say the words of Psukei dezimra, if you're going to a shul that they say starts 7:30 and Baruch Hu is 7:40, and you get there 7:32 and your tefillin are on by 7:35, then you cannot even say one quarter of Psukei dezimra properly. The truth is, the only fighting chance you have to say Psukei dezimra properly is if you're already in talis and tefillin before they start brachos. If you start the Psukei dezimra before they do, then you got a fighting chance over here. Now, what are you allowed to do during Psukei dezimra? Shulchan Aruch says, when you're davening Shemoneh Esrei, you're not allowed to hold tefillin, you're not allowed to hold svarim, you can't hold a plate. You can't hold anything because you're going to be focused somewhat on what you're holding, that you don't drop it, and it's going to disturb your kavana. Says the Mishnah Berurah, the same way you're not allowed to hold something during Shemoneh Esrei, you cannot hold something during Psukei dezimra. In other words, during Psukei dezimra, you cannot do anything that will divert your attention. So you're saying, Rabbi, does that mean I can't look at my phone during Psukei dezimra? No, Chas v'Shalom, I never said that. I said you can't bring your phone into the shul. That's what I said. But there's no specific isser of not looking at phone during Psukei dezimra. That doesn't belong in the shul in the first place. But during Psukei dezimra, you can't even hold a parsha sheet. Not you can't read a parsha sheet. You can't read it. Of course you can't. You have to daven. But you can't even hold something that you might be focused might fall from you. So this is a little bit of a reality check for me personally, and hopefully it will enhance our focus on Psukei dezimra, that the Mishnah Berurah says we should say it slowly as if we're counting money, and the purpose of it is to really, as Tosfos says, go into Shmona Esrei mitoch simcha shel mitzvah of limud haTorah, and also to cut down all the mekatregim, whether it's malachim, whether it's accusers, whether it's improper perspectives and attitudes. And Bezus Hashem, next time we will begin with the first part of Psukei Dezimra. And again, we'll try to accommodate both noschois, whatever you daven, we'll try to offer insight into that Messiah and that tradition. And the Ibn Shem Shem Mekabel, all of our tefillos, Barach Maratzain, and wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos. What's up?
You just learned how important the Psukei Dezimra is, but yet all of the halachas...
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.